after that, I'm a little bit teary, right? I feel like worship is the entrance to the presence of God, and it literally fills me every time I'm in his presence. I can't be everything that I am if I'm not worshiping, if I'm not ingrained. It covers me like the ocean. So let me sparkle in sunshine and get my words together this morning. Okay. Good morning, Meridian. I'm super excited to be here with you today. When Pastor Dan kind of came to me and was like, yes, let's get this done, I was like, no, let's not get this done. Okay. So I wasn't ready. So I want to talk to you today about, I come from the book of James 2, actually, today, which is in one accord with exactly who God is. He laid it on my heart, actually, weeks ago, that I would be talking about how will I be received. And then he gave me the names of James and Rachel. And I just wrote that down at the moment. I didn't know that today would be the day. I had already written a sermon. I thought that I would be talking about something way different. So let's get into it before I just, you know, talk to you before about everything. First, I want to thank Pastor Daniel and the congregation for welcoming me and my family. It's been such a blessing to break bread with all of you. We eat here on Wednesdays. Normally, my children are like, are we going to the candy church? Because God has kind of been spreading me around here. I didn't totally find a church home in the beginning. So I was kind of going to this church and going to that church and being filled and hopefully filling others with what was happening. But my kids were like adamant, when are we going to the candy church? Because they give me candy. And the other church did not give me any candy. They had a muffin. Okay, I don't want a muffin. I want the candy. So Rhonda, thank you for giving out candy because the children love it. And they have placed us here in this strategic time. So thank you guys for breaking bread with me over food and laughter and for welcoming me here today. Whew. Now I have that off. Today I want to tell you a couple stories about my life and how we got here today. How I got before you today. So let's get into it. Do you wonder how people will receive you when you walk in a room? Are you wondering if they will judge you by what you drive, your attire, how much money you have? I often have these concerns, not only myself, but my family. Even though I'm an ordained minister, I've spoken to many groups of people who come from many different walks of life, like the low, the high, the in-between, from all different backgrounds, all different colors, all different races, all different languages. I wasn't totally comfortable with the thought of being before you today. My nerves had me. I wasn't totally here with it in my mind. I did not think that my stories and my trials and my tribulations would be received or resonate without the look of or feel of judgment. I'm looking around because I'm used to talking to people. I like to feel the energy in the room. My thought was that I would be before you in a different manner. Right? I like to feel the energy. I can feel you when I walk in a room. So if I'm looking around, it's me wondering, imagining there's a full congregation here. You. I did not think my story or trials would resonate without the look of feel of judgment in a space where I already feel like the outsider. I didn't want to separate myself on an even greater scale by telling you my story and becoming the stereotype or statistics that people might think of me. Instead of a woman, a minister that wants to share the word of God, one that yearns to help those to get from pain to purpose. I created a scenario in my mind and my heart, and I let that narrative lead me. I would not be fully effective here, is what I told myself. Pastor Dan, okay, was on it. He was not letting me just come and enjoy and be an essential part and not be an essential part of what God has for Meridian. He asked multiple times for me to pray. Like he came, like, can you pray, Tiva? Do you want to do anything at the church? Like, do you want to stand at the front of the church? Can you just, you know, worship on the side? Can you just worship on the side? And I'm like, I'm okay right here for now. And if I can be more candid, I was like, I don't want to. I will tell you that years before, I'm passing where I'm supposed to be, flesh my late actions, even though I knew that I was supposed to share with you guys here today. God had ordained this not just months ago, but years. Years before I left our home of Detroit, Michigan. Can any Michiganders put in the comments that you're with me? You're with me. Any of my Detroit people here, come be in the comments. It was prophesied to me that I would be before a congregation of those that don't look like me. Now, I want that to sit with you for just a second. Years before I met you here today, it was prophesied to me that I would be before people that don't look like me. And if I could be even more candid, because the woman that prophesied to me was very candid, okay? I was at a women's conference. She's like, come here. And you know, when you're being prophesied over, sometimes, you know, you're like, okay, my time, I'm not sure if I should take all of that in. Because, you know, there's flesh in Jesus when you're praying for people. And that sometimes there's just the word of God that sticks with you that he has to teach you later on. So she's like, come here, girl. And in front of everybody, okay, let's start there too. I see you just in front of all the white people. I'm like, well, okay. And then she, you know, she said things like, I love your spirit. Your brokenness is what will help people. And I'm like, girl, I'm not broke. Okay, look at me. Do I look broken? Super cute. I also had on stripes that day, so shout out to God. I also had on some stripes. So I took that, and I was like, I live in Detroit, okay? Like, let's start there, where there are, I'm the majority, okay? There are not a lot of people that don't look like me that I'd be prophesying and praying for at that time. Even though I've always been a girl that's been in many different circles, I have many different friends. If you saw my pictures and things, you'll know that I'm everywhere. So I should have took that a little bit more to heart, but I didn't. And I was like, okay, girl, thank you. So that was the candid part. I took what she said that day with a grain of salt. Like, yeah, okay. Never did I know soon I would be moving to a state where the population of black people is 9.1%. In a city of Greenwood where the population is 91.1% white. Years. God's been putting this together for years. 91.1%. My children are less than the 1% at the school they go to. So to say that today was meant to be would be an understatement. It would be a lack of me not acknowledging God in my life. It would be a lack of me not just spending that time with him and understanding over the years, because sometimes God will give you a word and then you're 10 years later, you're like, oh, that's why you said that, thanks. Because you get it in the moment and you feel like it's tangible. Okay, like, where am I supposed to use this? Who am I giving this to? Who's this word for? Is this word for me? Is it for Brandon? Is it for Nate? It's not for me. It's not for me. You want to give it to everybody, but God takes time. He builds in layers. He knew that today would be today and we would be in this space today and I would be here with you today. So thank you, Pastor Dan, for leading with your heart. And letting the Lord lead your questions and answers, and you're poking. Okay? Does he poke you guys too? Put that in the comments too. So God has also connected our messages this week. He wanted this message to be so cohesive that he blew up my phone. Literal smoke and fire. I'm holding my phone in my hand. It blew up. I wish this was a joke. I really wanted to keep my phone, but I had already written a sermon, like I told you earlier, that I thought was beautiful, right? I had already written a beautiful sermon about worthiness, and we had a conversation about it. I told him what I would be talking about. I thought that it was perfect. God knew that I would not have deviated from that sermon, so he had to kill my phone. Right? I had to throw it outside in the rain on my front lawn. I'm not kidding, people. I had to run downstairs. Mind you, I'm pregnant, okay? I'm running with my blew-up phone from my couch downstairs to throw it into the rain so it doesn't catch my house on fire. Really got my cell phone. So, as he knew that I was coming, God knew that I would not deviate from that sermon, so he had to kill my cell phone. As he knew that I was coming and what the state of our world and the people of God would be in today. Last week, Pastor Dan preached on Matthew and being an outsider. When God laid this new word on my heart, how will I be received? He laid the book of James on my heart right along with it. At first, I wasn't sure how they went together. I'm like, okay, God, James, what does that have to do with anything? But I just wrote it, you know, how you wake up in the middle of the night if you're like me, you know, and God has a word. You have your notebook next to you. You're like, okay, A, B, C, D, right? Because sometimes you have to get up and get that word out. So he knew that this is what I needed to do. At first, So God had me read the full book of James over. It's a short book, only five chapters or whatever you'd like to call it at this time, but so powerful in the message of Christ, his people, and how you treat them. This is for today, God. So many notes on how we should live and those around us. It was God saying, I know what's happening, and I need you to share this. One scripture that stood out to me was, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. I could cry just even resting in that. Because faith without deeds, without works, is dead. I can tell you anything. I can say all the things. I can walk in a room and tell you the beautiful things about God and the beautiful things about my life. But if you don't see the deeds that I've done, if you don't see me reaching out to those that don't look like me, that don't have what I have, that haven't been where I've been, it's dead. James himself wrote the book of the Bible. It is said that he was the brother of Jesus. Which made me think, what type of trials does the brother of Jesus have? I mean, you're the brother of the Messiah, the Savior of all souls, right? People had to be like, James, come here, let me talk to you right quick. Can you give me a meeting with Jesus? I mean, I just want to, you know, that thing that he did with the girl and the blind man. I need a couple things. Can I be your friend? Can I be a disciple? I mean, can you get me in there? Can you get me in touch with your brother? Because I need some of that. But it wasn't as beautiful as one may think. James was not all in this brother space. He was the one that was sent to save souls. He didn't think that he was the one that was sent to change the world. He didn't believe in Jesus or his ministry during his time on earth. He had to be walking around like, so you just going to embarrass me like that? So you just going to say you from God and I'm not? We're from the same blood. We have the same mother and father. So you can do miracles and I'm just over here as your brother. I need you to stop embarrassing me, right? Like, let's go in his mind. Because he was the older brother. I need you to sit down. Stop telling people that God sent you from somewhere and that you're here to save the world, right? It's like having Superman as your brother. I really wish you would stop embarrassing us in front of neighbors, our friends, our family, and everybody else that you're talking to. He had to have wondered, how will I be received when I walk in a room? Himself, as the brother of Jesus. That worry had to carry him through each day. when I walk in this room, what are people going to say? How are they going to feel? What are their thoughts before I even get there? Because they're probably already talking, or he probably already talked to them. Like, let's think about that. It wasn't until the miracle of all miracles occurred that he's like, okay, you might be Jesus. You might be the Savior. You might be the God that everybody's talking about. Jesus had to die. Die. And rise again for his own brother to believe in him and follow his teaching. Let's think about that. Die. Would you die for somebody to believe in you? Would you die for somebody to receive you the same way? Die. Not only did he end up following his teachings, he started a church. Now, that is a huge change. I mean, if you saw something like that in front of you, you're like, okay, I can follow you now for sure. I mean, after seeing something with your own eyes, then you can become a believer. I believe the book of James was a note to self type of moment. This is him taking a moment. Let me teach you so you don't do what I did. So you don't make the same mistakes that I made. So that you're slow to listen, slow to speak, and quick to listen. That you're being understanding of those around you, even if they're your blood. Sometimes it's harder to change and become a believer in front of those that are blood. They know you. They've seen you grow up. They've changed their loincloth in James's sense of the word. I gave you a bottle. I fed you. I know you for real. But now my life has changed. God has given me a purpose. I'm leading and I'm walking in that purpose. And I need you to believe that. So he saw that Jesus did. He saw what Jesus did, what works and what didn't. And he lays his heart out in the book with scripture. A couple scriptures to go over. James 1:12. Blessed is the one who preserves under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Note to self, my trial is my crown. He had to live with not following Jesus. He had to live with those emotions. After seeing Jesus die, now he's like, okay, he is the Messiah. He died. He came back. They moved the rock. All the things, the angels came. I saw that with my eyes. And at that time, before all of that, I didn't believe him. Even though he had preached to me and told me, I am the Messiah. I'm coming back to save you. There is a Savior. There is a God in heaven that loves you, that wants to be with you, that you can live and follow my. He still scrapped that. But now he's telling you in his note to self, don't do what I did. 1:19. I'm laughing because God gave Dan the same scripture this morning. I was like, first of all, don't be in my sermon. My dear brothers and sisters, take note. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God deserves. James didn't take the time to really listen to his brother and understand and believe him. He had, like me in the beginning, let his flesh and his mind lead him in the decision making. 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Let's pause there for a second. Can you imagine looking at your face? Right? I know my eyes are here. My eyebrows are here. I know my lips are here. And then as soon as I leave, I'm like, is that me in a picture? I didn't know. I didn't think that was me. That's exactly what James had done. He had warned us against that. Most of us swear that we know God, we love God, and we want to keep his words close to our hearts. But this one, like me, I know the word of God. Like me, I know the word of God. But do I see it in my reflection? Do I see it in how I treat those around me? Or do I forget my face when I can't see it right in front of me, in the church building, or when I'm in front of people? We all struggle with faith and what God will do in any instance. But what if it's not tangible, like in James's case? James happened to be before this. He saw this happen before his very eyes. How do we choose to believe then if we can't touch it, if we can't see it? How do I say, God, I know that I will be received. I know how I will be received because you go before me. You've created everything for my good. You have laid the table before my enemies, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. How do I do that? Worship, prayer, understanding, deeds, faith. I'm here to tell you that, like James, our lives and the mistakes we made are our crowns. The trials and the tribulations are tangible instances that we can hold on to, no matter when we walk in the room and who's in there. That's exactly where we're supposed to be. I compare my story to James, and I can say why God laid him on my heart to share. Remember earlier I said that I would tell you a little bit about my story, which is why I wanted to tell you about James first. Me, like James, I come from unbelief of the walk of Jesus. I knew him. I knew the walk he had. Heard the testimonies of those at the church services, and I still didn't fully believe that Christ was the Messiah. It wasn't until tangible things happened in my life that I could believe either. I've always been a person that was beyond my years. I want to tell you about an instance that shaped my belief in God and that forced me to pray and get over my fears of coming before you. Just a tiny backstory. I come from a home that was filled with domestic violence, riddled with hurt and pain, all while being a CK. So just like James, I was filled with the words, a CK is a church kid, I'm not a PK, which is a preacher's kid. Make sure we got our acronyms right. Some of you may know I went to church like every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I was in all of the things. Okay, I was like, God, you do not need every day. When I was a child, I'm like, do you need Monday too? You need Wednesday and Saturday. After surviving the domestic violence filled home, my mother went to prison when I was just 12 years old. After knowing her as my only resource, I had known in the world, my world drastically changed. It was kind of like having a brother that you thought was crazy, telling people that he was Jesus. But God met me there at 12 years old. Let me know that he would not forsake me. That even though I thought I had no parents, I would be okay. The first instance would be when I tried to smoke. I just want to be very candid and honest with you guys. I went to the bathroom, I was ready, everybody was smoking. I'm like, okay, you got a cigarette. This party's on, right? I was just 12. I went in the bathroom, put the cigarette to my lips. I didn't light it. Put the cigarette to my lips. It burnt because I guess nicotine burns. And I was like, oh, if this is burning, I probably shouldn't smoke it, right? So in that moment, I decided I wasn't going to do it. I left it right there, okay? But then God had a cousin, my cousin, pick me up the very next day. I had showered, washed my hair, all of the things. I was sitting in the back seat of the car. And she turns and she says, God told me somebody in this room is trying to smoke cigarettes. That is not your portion. Can you imagine a 12-year-old in the car with God speaking? Tangible moment for me where I can see the fall and the rise of Jesus. I'm emotional now. The second instance is in the house where all the domestic violence happened. where I had come from, where I had learned what pain was. My husband and I, how many years now? I love you, husband. We've been together for almost 20 years now. We're driving in my city, Inkster, where I grew up in Michigan, and he's asking me to see where I grew up. I didn't really have like a solid home. My husband still lives in the home. His parents still live in the home they grew up in. He still has all his friends from the block that he grew up on. Like, they're still like brothers, not me. So he's asking me, I want to see that house. So I'm fumbling. I wasn't totally in remembrance of where the house was or the name of the street, but we end up in front of it. I become broken and undone. And the spirit of just sadness comes upon me. And God knew that I would be like, dear God, where is this coming from? This pain that I thought that I had passed, because I'm years later, right? Years, years, years and years later. And the very next day, my father, who I had not spoken to in years, called me. He said, Teva, I'm sorry for what happened to you in that house. We hadn't spoken in years. I didn't even know. He had probably had to search around for my number. But God knew that he had to take that tangible moment that I was in pain. I see you. I love you. I need you to know that this is your crown. That trial is your crown. God made himself tangible for me to feel. He let me know that he was watching me. I then gave my life to God and followed Christ. I even became a minister, like James. When it comes to learning from the life of James, the brother of Jesus, there's one thing that stands above the rest, and it is this. The resurrected Christ has the power to change lives, like the religious leaders of their day. James had seen Jesus perform countless miracles, but none of that convinced him that Jesus was the Messiah. You can find that in John. But when he witnessed the resurrected Jesus, his entire life changed when he witnessed that tangible moment. He went from the skeptic to the believer to the leader of a church. It's amazing to see the same work that happened in the life of James happen in our own lives. One moment we're dead in our sins with no faith in who Jesus is. Upon witnessing the resurrected Christ, those tangible moments through gospel proclamation, the Holy Spirit makes us alive. Our lives are never the same. The questions this posed for me that I want you to talk about in the comments today. I would love for you to share, how do I receive those around me? Am I forgetting the word of God? Am I forgetting my face? Am I forgetting the reflection, my deeds and services, and the teachings of Jesus as soon as I leave my reflection? That's how I want to leave you today. I want to thank you guys for having me. If I can, I want to pray. God, I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again in your house, here in my home? Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I confess in my mouth that I need you. I believe in you. Write your words on my heart. Let them come out when I am faced with judgment or a decision that surpasses my understanding, God. Let the remembrance of your servant James echo in my mind that faith without deeds is dead. Fill my heart with your kingdom actions so that I may be among those that are seen as the tax collectors in the world's eye. That I may have the heart to offer a seat to both those who dress in fine clothing and those who have nothing. God, I thank you for removing my fleshly way and filling my new wineskin with your perfect love, because all I want is you. Meet me here, God. Meet me today. Amen.